On our new Activating Enterprise series here on RNIB Connect Radio, we are finding out how sometimes life-changing events can become catalysts for positive change when it comes to career opportunities. In this episode, artist manager Ben Price shares his journey from tour management to starting his own business amidst a pandemic.
I'm Ben Price. I'm the owner of a music management company called Harborside Artist Management. My career really started straight out of university. I actually did a broadcast journalism degree at university. I was a radio journalist and then a news editor for around 10 years at various stations as a freelancer. I worked in radio for a little while, and then I actually got picked up by a music management company to be one of their A&R scouts, so to be one of their talent scouts and talent development managers. The chance to sort of work in music was too good to turn down. I moved into working in A&R for a very short time, and then one of the artists that I was managing actually got quite successful and signed a major record deal, and then said, do you want to come be my tour manager? We've got 2 years of touring planned across the world, and do you want to manage it all? And again, I always wanted to travel. So there I was, and I jumped again to sort of become a tour manager. And that's kind of where I thought I'd be for my whole life, really. I was touring for years and years, completely booked out. I was tour managing artists like Donny Osmond. And then sort of things started to change. And I guess that's where that's part of the story ends. 2013, I was working as a tour manager, working in dark environments, as you do when you work in live music. And I was setting up the stage one day, and I just noticed things were slightly different. And I wondered why the lights were so dim. I was assured that everything was normal and as it should have been. But I obviously knew about a problem in the family called retinitis pigmentosa. And that was something that I thought I'd gotten away with because, well, you know, I was 31 at the time, and I know my granddad had always had it, but I kind of assumed I would have sort of developed symptoms by then. I went to get checked out shortly after and was told that I did have early signs of RP. So obviously that's when I had to sort of try and make a new plan. I was quite scared. It was a scary time. You know, my livelihood depended on it. I hadn't been working in music and touring for all that long, so I didn't have a prestigious career to fall back on and say, you know, I've got this issue, please continue to employ me. I felt that by telling people I had a disability, it might be seen as a weakness and I might be seen as less able to do my job. I don't think that is true. I think the fear of stigma and discrimination is just as bad as stigma and discrimination itself sometimes. So I did avoid telling a lot of people. As a tour manager, you sometimes expect to drive the bus, drive the van. Obviously, the diagnosis meant I couldn't work on the road anymore. So I did have to make my excuses with artists that I work with who did expect you to tour manage, but I didn't want to disclose at the time and details of my condition. So, you know, I made my excuses in those cases. In many other cases, there were bands who worked on tour buses. So obviously with professional bus drivers, you know, I'm not expected to drive a double-decker bus. So that was always good. But it did kind of halve my work overnight. And obviously it's a degenerative eye condition. So every day I was on a different show at a different venue and had different problems. And I could feel it getting worse almost to the day at times. So it was quite demoralizing, and you know, it took a few years, but eventually it got to the stage where I could no longer hide it and I had to start thinking about the future. I was already starting to walk into things, damage things at times on stage. I once broke a guitar that was worth about £800 because of my RP. I missed the guitar lead that was trailing the floor and tripped over it, and starting to affect other people. So I knew I needed a new plan. So I decided to try and transition from being a tour manager to just an artist manager, you know, a stay behind a desk artist manager who looks after an artist's affairs 360 rather than just their touring. I'd already sort of started to get a bit of experience in that field just because a couple of artists that I tour manage had been in between managers and had asked me to fill in for them. I started managing a few artists, but only on the side because, you know, it was never going to be enough income to move into a situation where I could solely be a manager and not do the touring. So my plan was really to wean out the touring while my eyes deteriorated, keep doing as much as I can to earn half of my income, and then try to earn the other half of my income through artist management. But then obviously the pandemic came and there was no such thing as live music anymore. And it gave me a sort of perfect opportunity to make that leap, really. And it was only kind of during that period that I really thought about the process of not disclosing and talking about my condition. It just really got me thinking about what were the sort of preconceptions that made me think it wasn't okay to disclose and to tell people. Why did I think that disability was a sign of weakness in my own mind? Did I have like some internal ableism? And how can we make sure that other people don't have that in the future? I can be honest enough to say that my perceptions of disability as a person with disability compared to before are completely different. And I don't think I would have or did have the empathy in the past for people in these situations. You know, we're talking about disability and helping disabled people, but we are also learning people without disability about the issues that people with disability and long-term health conditions are facing in their careers. Encourage people really to feel that they're in an environment where they can disclose and talk about their needs without judgment, because I do feel that by just changing the environment and making it very clear that you welcome people to talk to you about disabilities or mental health conditions, I think it's important to create the right environment. You know, I think sometimes employers are worried about asking about reasonable adjustments and disabilities because they assume that it will cost them money to make access changes. But not all access changes are physical access changes. Sometimes it can be as simple as a person's need to work from home one day a week or attend more medical appointments, for example. It's obviously a big change for me to jump into running my own management company. I feel good about the decision I've taken. It's a challenge. I'm probably making it more of a challenge for myself by talking so openly about my own story and really linking it in. I think by focusing on artists with disability, the music industry at the moment doesn't acknowledge artists with disability, not to the level that it should. There are some incredible artists out there who aren't getting the recognition, aren't getting on the main stages of festivals. And I really want to be an advocate for making sure that there is no gap between disability arts and pop culture. And I really want to bridge that gap. I am making it slightly more difficult for myself rather than just managing artists without disability and running a very everyday management company. I am taking on a challenge, but it's a challenge that I think somebody needs to take on because there's nobody doing this. There's organizations that are interested in artists with disability, but we have to get to a level where it's not a special stage at a festival for people with disability, but we're actually getting those people onto the main stages, for example. Talking about my vision loss and my story gives me a sense of liberation. It gives me a sense of finally doing the right thing in that, you know, I should have spoken about it in the first place and got the reasonable adjustments that I needed. I do think that, but my campaign isn't necessarily to encourage others to disclose if they're not comfortable to do so. It's more for everybody else to create the environment so that that is a more natural process. I am still in the fairly early years, really, of considering myself to have a disability. You know, it's something I've actually had for 7 years now, and you know, I do find I have to manage my own kind of mental health a bit because I'm talking about it mostly every day and also sort of dealing with those changes as well. You know, people with disability can be strong leaders, can be achievers as well, and can really not just compete, but if we work just as hard, and we can be just as successful, and there's no barriers stopping us from achieving whatever we want to achieve as long as we put our mind to it and we work with like-minded people.
Ben Price sharing his story on our Activating Enterprise series. Over the next weeks, we'll be sharing more stories like this one here on RNIB Connect Radio. And if you would like to get in touch and share your own employment journey, the challenges, the successes, and everything in between, get in touch. Email radio@rnib.org.uk. To find out more about Ben's work, just visit his website. It's harborsidemgmt.com or follow him on Twitter @BenJ_Price.